Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Live from the Allo Communications Studios. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. It's been a really interesting week. It really has. You know, with the Joker being named a back-to-back MVP, the Avs seemed like they played like 8 years ago, just waiting for this series to end between Minnesota and St. Louis, which could end tonight. I think you're rooting for a game seven, right? Unless you're really scared about the whole rust thing. But I think you're rooting for Minnesota tonight. So you can force game seven, give yourself another day or two or three, and make sure Darcy Kuemper's good to go. Make sure everybody's well rested. Or, you know, there's the other school of thought where it's like, don't want to lose any of that momentum. I think with the injury situation with Darcy Kuemper, I'm for sure like, give it as many days as possible. So I'm rooting for a game seven. So I'm rooting for Minnesota to win tonight. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We have our Method Flow products poll question available for you today at thewholeshow.com. And again, with the Joker thing, this has spawned on some really great sports talk throughout the state. No doubt. And we're talking about the GOAT, and we're talking about the Mount Rushmores of Broncos and Nuggets and Rockies and Avs and overall, too. That's always a fun debate, man, because most of the time, as long as you're close, you're not really wrong. But I saw some posts the other day, you know, like Chris Marlowe, the voice of the Nuggets on Altitude TV, had posted that he thought, hey, retire Carmelo's jersey number, Carmelo Anthony, and then retire Nikola Jokic is the same. So when they both wore the same number, so that's why it's difficult. And I guess I got to thinking about all this, and the hate for Melo is crazy to me, just nuts. But why retire the number? Why? I mean, if you're going to retire a number, first off, it should be Joker's. When Joker finally retires, he's already surpassed everything that Carmelo Anthony has done. No question. So if you're going to actually retire a number, I think it's got to be for the absolute elite of the elite. I think John Elway is the only one worthy of a retired number for the Broncos. The rest, they're all good. They're Hall of Famers, but John Elway transcended everything. For the Nuggets, it's Joker, I think, but nobody else. Like, Alex English is good. We're not doing that. The point is, why can't you raise the jersey, though, for Carmelo? Like, is there some kind of ring of fame at Ball Arena? I don't think so. I love what the Broncos do. We don't have to retire numbers, but we can put out all of our greatest players, all of our greatest coaches and managers that have impacted this organization in that ring of fame. And you just, that is amazing. So when I think of Carmelo Anthony, I think, why not just lift his jersey up there next to Alex English, Dikembe Mutombo, Dan Issel, David Thompson, some of the greats. Fat Lever, even, maybe? I don't think it has to be, oh, he raised his jersey to the rafters. That means nobody can ever wear number 15. You can do both. Now, if you're going to retire a number at some point for the Nuggets, like, nobody in their history warrants that right now. Sorry, I love Alex English, but no championships, no MVPs, nothing like that to show for it. Just a, you know, they went to the Western Conference Finals once. Joker's close. You know, two MVPs on an organization that's never had any is something else. So it's a worthwhile discussion. Now, this got me going into a deeper poll question, because the Hooligans and Nuggets fans, whatever, seem to really have some issues with Melo being named into the greatness category for the Nuggets. Now, I think Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest Nuggets of all time. Is he top four? Is he on the Nuggets Mount Rushmore? Yes or no? Well, obviously Joker's already there. Joker's already on the Mount Rushmore, and he's number one. He's the first guy you put there. Alex English is number two to me. And again, I think there's a... Look at this, though. 75% of the Hooligans say no. Who else you putting on there, man? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Come on, do I have that many people that just, I don't like how he won it traded? Dikembe Mutombo played less time in Denver than Melo did. Dikembe Mutombo, I know he's famous for being pulling off the number one, the eight upset seed over a one seed. I get it, but he played 5 years for the Nuggets. Melo played eight or nine, I think. He did sign an extension with the Nuggets after his rookie contract was out. It's not like he just played a few seasons and was out the door. He did want to try to win in Denver. He really did. Just when you got to the point, when they got to the Western Conference Finals with Chauncey Billups, and then they go play the Lakers, I think at that point, Melo goes, this is probably as good as it's going to get in Denver. I want to go to New York for basketball reasons, for show business reasons, whatever. Was it the right decision by Melo? Hell no, it wasn't. But that decision yielded a lot of really interesting things from the Nuggets as far as the trade is concerned. In fact, Jamal Murray, that draft pick, was part of that trade to get Melo. It impacted that situation for so long. But I do look at it and I say, man, Carmelo Anthony's absolutely right there with Alex English. Joker's above all of them already. MVPs will do that for you, two of them especially. He's gone as far, now, he didn't win as many, but he's gone as far as Chauncey and Melo and Alex English. And it wasn't Issel on that roster? So he's definitely better than them. He's gone as far in the playoffs as both of those franchises or those teams did, and he won two MVPs. So that whole argument that I started 2 years ago that a lot of old fogies called me crazy for, then I said Joker's already the best Nugget. He was then, and he is certainly now. Is Carmelo Anthony on the Mount Rushmore for the Denver Nuggets? Yes. It's Joker, English, Melo, David Thompson. That's where I go with that. Dikembe was great, but the longevity wasn't there. Dan Issel, good, but not a top four. Not a top four Denver Nugget. Carmelo Anthony deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore of the Denver Nuggets. Does he deserve to have his number retired? No, because his number is Joker's, and even if it wasn't, Melo wasn't that worthy of it. I'm only retiring I'm trying to think right now. Are we retired? And I could be wrong. Is Larry Walker's number retired? It shouldn't be. Todd Helton? Can you Google that for me, Michael? Michael filling in today for Jades of Spades. Jades of Spades is graduating in the next week or so he's got a lot of things he's got to do. Larry Walker should not be retired. Todd Helton should not be retired. Nolan Arenado, no. Carmelo Anthony, no. Alex English, no. John Elway, yes. That's it. Not Peyton Manning. Tribuca was retired and then not retired. Terrell Davis was retired and then not retired. If it can easily be unretired, then it's not really retired. I think Walker and Helton are retired. Is that right?
Walker, Helton, and Jackie Robinson.
Oh, well,
and I think that's just a major league thing. Period.
Yeah, that number obviously deserves to be retired. I don't think Todd Helton and Larry Walker. Okay, Larry Walker's a Hall of Famer now. Will Todd Helton be a Hall of Famer? I don't know. But it's like my Hall of Fame argument, dude. My Hall of Fame argument is, and I'll test you right here, Michael. I'm going to give you the test. This is the Hall of Fame test. Is Ben Roethlisberger a Hall of Famer? You hesitated. No.
Well, Boy.
It's no. It's no. That
if you don't think automatically,
then it's no. That's my rule.
I'm okay with that rule because so many people do get in the Hall of Fame and you're like, "What?"
Well, it's not the Hall of Good. It's not the Hall of Great, it's the Hall of Fame. So should Terrell Davis's number be retired?
No.
Sharp?
No.
Atwater?
No. No, none of them.
None of them. Elway?
Of course.
Of course, right?
And Tripucka, okay, because his number was already retired.
Yeah, but then they brought it back out for Manning.
For Manning.
And then they put it back in. So, like, no. So that means there's no Nugget that should have his number retired. Joker's probably going to get there. I'm not even saying it has to be championships. I'm not even going there. The level of greatness. So Larry Walker's close. But again, how many times was this team going to the playoffs? I know Todd Helton was in that run, the World Series run, but I just can't really. I need more greatness from you. Walker did win an MVP, right? So you add that to what? Did he go to the playoffs twice with the Rockies? They just don't have that great of a history. The Nuggets have at least gone to their conference finals three times. The Rockies had the one really, really good year as a part of five playoff runs since they began. And I think, okay, Joe Sakic. Are we retiring his number? Maybe Sakic's number is retired. Probably is. Patrick Waugh?
I think Patrick Waugh's is retired.
So then Joe Sakic's is retired if Patrick Waugh's is. Is Peter Forsberg's number retired? You're going to run out of numbers pretty fast, man. Sakic is greater than Waugh, so I would say Sakic deserves to have his number retired. The Avalanche is tough because the three best guys, I mean, again, they started in the 90s, so the three best guys of your history of Avalanche were on the same team. Do you want to retire? I just think that retiring numbers should be a very, very obvious choice.
According to what I'm looking at, Joe Sakic, which is number 19, Peter Forsberg, number 21, Patrick Waugh, number 33, Adam Foote, number 52, and Ray Bourque, which I disagree with, number 77.
Right. He played 1 year with them.
I know. It's because he was so
legendary,
so,
and I get it.
Such
but why,
a great player.
But it's like, okay, Adam Foote's number's retired too?
Yeah.
How many numbers are we going to retire? Bama Bear says, here's his Mount Rushmore. Joker, English, Mello, and Mutombo. Mutombo's great. He will ever be, but he played on like 9,000 teams, didn't he?
He's a hill.
He played on a lot of teams.
You should write his name on a hill, kind of like that little Aggie thing in Fort Collins.
Instead of the Mount Rushmore, he's just, there's a little hill below that.
Yeah, just you put a little monument.
Okay. I mean, if we're doing top 10 and stuff and top 5, Mutombo's right there, but this is Mount Rushmore. This is top 4. I go David Thompson. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm just blown away that Carmelo Anthony, that more of the hooligans are saying, no, he's not on the Mount Rushmore. Now, somebody texted Tom, I believe, and he said, the four presidents listed or that are actually on the on Mount Rushmore aren't necessarily the greatest presidents of all time.
That is true.
But they are very monumental. They change things. They're historic, right? So do we need to be looking at the Mount Rushmore more as who was the like most historic? Again, Mello fits both of those molds. Greatness and historic, because the Nuggets, once Mutombo left Denver, those were dark times. The Nuggets were god-awful. Every single year, they were bad, a joke. Nobody took them seriously. And then Carmelo Anthony was drafted in 2003, and everything changed. They were in the playoffs every single year after that. And after his trade, they maintained their playoff run, always getting eliminated in the first, but still maintained because of the value of the trade.
You know, according to that logic, you would then have Floyd Little on the Broncos.
I brought this up. Thanks for listening to the whole show every day, Michael. I said, why are we not having Floyd Little on the on? I haven't seen anybody saying we're talking about Mount Rushmore. Why aren't you putting Floyd Little on your Mount Rushmore?
He didn't have the best numbers.
Alan, he wasn't as visible. I mean, we weren't talking about the Broncos that much at that point. But Floyd Little showed this organization that you could have franchise players that would draw a crowd. He was the guy that showed Denver, the Broncos, we can stay here and grow a football organization. Well before John Elway.
And he would be one of my... And I don't have a complete Mount Rushmore because I can't decide. But I would have two definites and it would be Floyd Little and John Elway.
Okay, so you're going definite Floyd Little. And I have a hard time with it too because I tend to go with the greatest player and not use the most important player adage. So is Floyd Little greater than Terrell Davis? Was Floyd Little a better back than Terrell Davis? Was he a better player than Terrell Davis?
It's tough to call.
It's tough. I mean, he's Terrell's a 2,000-yarder. He's a league MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. It's hard for me to go against TD on that. Like, my gut, when I just say quickly my Mount Rushmore, it's John Elway, it's Terrell Davis, it's Shannon Sharp, and it's a toss-up between Von Miller and Atwater, but I'm going to go Von Miller because he's a Super Bowl MVP.
TD had a better coach, better offensive line, better receivers with him.
Well, then you can make that same argument. I mean, I've been trying to make that argument like that John Elway is just leaps and bounds above Nikola Jokic in this whole GOAT conversation. I use the same thing. John Elway had four Hall of Famers doing it with him at that high. And I know he dragged them to Super Bowls and they got their kicked. But there's no there's no Hall of Famers on the roster right now for the Nuggets. There's other than Joker. Murray could have a fine career, but there's no basketball Hall of Famers on the roster. John Elway had, what, Zimmerman? Atwater? Sharp? Davis? It's a lot of Hall of Famers on one team. So, again, I use that argument kind of with, you know, you're saying, hey, Floyd Little didn't have anybody. He was the guy. Maybe he deserves more of a look to jump on that Mount Rushmore for the Broncos. But the poll question today, should Carmelo Anthony be on the Nuggets Mount Rushmore? 66% now saying no. So we're getting some yeses coming in on this. But it was dominant. It was like 85% at first before the show started. Glad Logic's starting to help, you know, take hold of some of you. Guys, I want to tell you about Weldworks. I was just there yesterday. Stopped by Weldworks. There was a Colorado State event going on. Coaches were there. Coach Jay Norvell was there. An amazing guy. Really cool to sit and shake his hand for a moment. He was busy. Didn't get to talk to him very long. But Weldworks gets it, man. They're hosting wonderful events. Colorado State comes here to Greeley to network their program because they know how special Weldworks is. Check out their new beer releases every Friday, which is tomorrow already. That's Weldworks. And then also the Annex. Brand new eatery, dialed in food. 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Season and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Stick with us here. We're going to have Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan join us in a few moments. The basketball team, fear not, Rams fans. I know, you know, losing a couple of guys to the transfer portal and all that was a little scary, and you're wondering what's going to happen with David Roddy, but fairly significant signing or transfer. It took place, well, this morning, last night, whatever. There were rumors about it for a while. But Josiah Strong, announced that he will be joining the Colorado State Rams for his final year of eligibility. So maybe it'll be a Chandler Jacobs type of thing. We're going to get to that, but Kevin did the write-up at the Coloradoan. 6'4", he's a sharp shooting type guard. He will join Colorado State from Illinois State. He announced today that he will be jumping on board with Colorado State. So we're going to talk to Kevin about that in just a moment. Shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Just want to throw this out, too. I love these guys, and I love Mr. Lemons. He's a great guy. I played flag football with him. I trust the dude. They're also hiring right now. So if you're interested, you're looking for something, and maybe that's a field you're into, give them a call, 970-567-0798. That's 970-567-0798. 30 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 35 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now, great friend of the show on our First Advantage hotline, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, this is why you were telling us, and we talked about it, is like, don't worry about some of these players transferring out, or, you know, we're waiting to see what's going on with David Roddy. This CSU men's basketball team has, it sounds like they got a really good player, a really good transfer player coming in, set to join the team next season.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like we talked about, you know, everyone wants it done now. And, you know, a month ago people were angsty, but, you know, we knew this would happen. CSU is very methodical in their transfer process and goes through kind of a lot of hoops to try and make sure they're getting kids, you know, that are like Chandler Jacobs, basically. And so, yeah, Josiah Strong, kid from Illinois State. He has 1 year to play at CSU, so similar Chandler there. He's a guy, great shooter. I think that's the first thing to note. You know, he shot 40% from three. He had 85 three-pointers, which is almost double what CSU's top three-point makes player was last year. So he's a guy I would say probably pencil him into the starting lineup as your two guard to replace Kendall Moore right now. You know, we'll see a little bit later what the full roster looks like once all the other decisions are done. But he's probably your front runner to start here and a guy that has a lot of experience. So yeah, it seems like a good addition for the Rams who will fit really nicely in their offense.
Yeah, you mentioned the Chandler Jacobs thing. That's the first thing that kind of comes to mind. Where does he stack up? Where does he fit in on the roster? And again, I know we're still waiting to see what's ultimately going to happen with David Roddy, but where do you see him? Starter, coming off the bench? What do you think?
Yeah, I think right now most likely he'll start and be kind of a true shooting guard alongside Isaiah Stevens. And he's a guy that, like I say, he hit a lot of threes already. And then CSU's offense, it's it's just built, you know, for a lot of flow, a lot of good looks. And so I think he's a guy that should flourish. He's, you know, he's been playing the Missouri Valley Conference, so pretty solid conference. So it's not like he's not used to playing at a pretty high level. So he's a guy that I think will step in and play a lot right away. And you know, you can just imagine if you're a shooter, you know, let's say David Roddy comes back. Defenses are going to be worrying a lot about David Roddy, a lot about Isaiah Stevens. You're going to get some open looks, so it's a great offense for a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like this team, again, assuming Roddy comes back, which I know you and I have discussed this at great length, our guts both kind of tell us we think he's going to come back. It just kind of seems like maybe this team loaded right back up and should make another big-time run next year.
Yeah, I mean, if David does come back, CSU will be in the top 25 to start the season. I feel pretty certain of that. The Mountain West is looking really good. You know, Wyoming has loaded up with some good transfers. Boise State has some incoming guys to keep with the guys they already have that they should stay solid. San Diego State has really reloaded. So, yeah, the conference is looking really good again. But, yeah, if David Roddy comes back, CSU will be a preseason top 25. And if he does, you know, the preseason, you know, offseason hype has really got kicked into overdrive. Right now it's kind of a holding pattern because obviously if he goes to the NBA, you know, this is still a good team. There's no doubt about that. But obviously a guy like David Roddy changes your ceiling a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, this, as you said, this team still should be pretty good. But what are you hearing, Kevin, on your side of things? I know I've reached out to David and said, hey, good luck, man. Want to talk to you soon. He's going to come on the show in a couple weeks. But he's playing his cards pretty close to the chest. What are you hearing? Are you hearing any rumors out there?
Yeah, I mean, kind of similar. I truly don't think he has 100% made a decision either way. You know, he goes to the combine next week, and that's going to be, you know, that's the last really part of this journey. So go to the combine. After that, he'll get the evaluation from teams that will basically tell, you know, give him sort of percentages of where he's most likely to be picked if he were to go. And then he'll make his decision. But no, I truly don't think he's made a decision. If he has it, it's very close to vest, and I can't imagine he would. I mean, knowing David, I don't know why he would make a decision either way before the combine. So yeah, if I had to pick, someone asked me yesterday, I said, you know, probably 60-40 to return. So if I had to put a number on it, that's probably where I'd put it. But, you know, far from a guarantee that he returns. It is interesting. He shares all the CSU stuff on his social medias. You know, today he was, you know, reposting on Instagram Josiah Strong's commitment announcement. So he's certainly very tuned in to CSU, even if he's going. He's on the bandwagon, I guess. So it's pretty interesting to watch, but I really don't think there's a decision made yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be so interesting, too, because, you know, again, like you said, should be a pretty good team. How good are we talking, though, Kevin, without David Roddy?
It's hard to say for sure because that would, I'm sure would lead to probably another transfer addition because you would, one, you would just have a hole, and two, you know, you have 20 points a game leaving out the door. But I still think, you know, if you look at this roster right now, but without David Roddy, it's a solid team. It's certainly a postseason team, I would say. What level of postseason sort of to be determined based on, you know, a couple of these transfers and a couple of young guys, you know, like a Jalen Lake, you know, how big a jump they make. So that is one thing I'll say. This is a good team, even if David Roddy leaves.
I think that's the exciting part of it. I mean, you mentioned Jalen Lake. You know, David's been on this show several times and said, hey, that guy is going to be the future. I mean, he's really high on Jalen Lake. So you're right. The roster is really there. But it's got to be Isaiah Stevens, though, right, to be that big-time leader next year. Obviously, your pieces, you're expecting good things from everybody, but he'll have, I mean, he's a great player. Isaiah Stevens has been kind of neck and neck with Roddy throughout their career. Roddy probably certainly surpassed him a little bit last year, but don't you expect he's going to have to raise his level of play?
Yeah, I mean, if David were to go, Isaiah would probably take on more scoring because he's a guy that could score more than he does, but he's obviously, you know, just a assist master. So he'd probably score a little bit more. And, yeah, in the locker room, Isaiah already has the ear of everyone in that locker room. And he's maybe not as loud as David can be at times, but Isaiah has the absolute, you know, locked-in respect of everyone in that room. So whether David's back or not, if Isaiah is talking, you're listening. So yeah, no doubt, one way or another, he's going to have a big, you know, both on- and off-court leadership role. But if David were to go, you know, it'd just be, you know, even more magnified.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, can you kind of give us, assuming Roddy comes back, what does the depth chart look like? What does the starting five look like? Can you update our listeners a little bit on that?
Yeah, I mean, best guess right now for me, obviously Isaiah's your point guard. Like I say, Josiah Strong's probably your two guard. John Tanjay at the three, David Roddy at the four, and I still think James Moore's at the five. Patrick Cartier, D2 All-American transfer, 6'8", kind of a power forward. There's a way you could see him starting. You could do some lineup shuffling, but kind of like we saw with Chandler Jacobs, I wouldn't be surprised if they want him off the bench. You know, that helps him, you know, adjust to the D1 game at a little better pace. And then you would have Jalen Lake and Isaiah Rivera, your kind of next guys off the bench. And then, you know, a few year unknowns. Does Baylor Hebb earn time at the guard? Because you'll need another guard playing. Does Tavi Jackson, the freshman coming in from Vegas. Does he earn some time? What about Jack Payne? You know, those freshmen, especially, you know, I want to say wait and see, but yeah, I think that's your starting five with Cartier, Lake, and Rivera, sort of your first three off the bench, you know, as of right now.
Very interesting.
And there's still room to maneuver. I think there's probably at least one more addition. I don't want to share a name, but I've heard some possibilities of who might be coming. So it's not locked in yet, but the roster isn't quite set yet, I don't think. So there's still probably a little bit more movement to go. In addition to the David Roddy news, which we keep talking about. But June 1 is your date on that one. So June 1, we're going to know a whole lot more about what the season, you know, is shaping up and the roster shaping up for.
Wow. June 1st. And yeah, as you said, maybe another addition coming to Colorado State. Your birds are working for you, Kevin. I know. I know you're getting the rumors out there stirring, and I'll be excited to see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's kind of what we talked about, you know, all of April, I guess, as fans were getting angsty of, you know, don't worry, they're working. There are a ton of good players in the portal. And Strong, I think, is a great example of that. Like, yeah, he's not, you know, the five-star kid going to Kentucky or something, but a really solid, experienced player. And the staff has been working on ones like this for quite a while.
Kevin, I popped by Weldworks for 5 seconds yesterday. CSU's been on there. I don't know, their meet and greet kind of tour, all the coaches going out there. I thought it was a pretty cool thing, a pretty cool concept to get out in front of people. And maybe it's, I don't know how many people, 50 or so, but it is a bigger thing when you kind of read about it in the headlines that CSU's making the rounds and getting their coaches out in front of everybody throughout the state, kind of.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. I think they made stops in, what, Denver, Sterling, and Greeley, I believe, over the last 3 days or so. And yeah, it's kind of, you know, see the Jay Norvell selfies. seems like he's getting better at the selfies as the week goes on, so that's good. But yeah, it's a good idea, you know, meet up, you know, because that's the type of thing that, you know, kind of during COVID haven't been able to do. You haven't been able to get, you know, 50, 60, 100 people in a brewery or whatever to, you know, just talk CSU sports. And now they can do that and take advantage. And obviously, you know, there are a lot of coaches there, but, you know, we'd all be lying if we didn't admit that Jay Norvell, the football coach, is sort of the headliner. And he's the guy that has the personality to, you know, connect at those type of things. So, yeah, it's good, you know, smart from CSU. It's one of those, there's maybe no tangible, immediate thing that you benefit from it, but having people know and like the people around your programs is never a bad thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And people seem very excited too. And again, I know football's king, and you know, some of the other sports fans out there will say, well, what about our sport? What about our sport? Well, it's also drawing attention. I mean, I'm there before Coach Norvell's speaking, and all the other coaches are talking first. So I do think that it's one of those things where his presence, his ability to network, is only going to help every sport going on at Colorado State.
Yeah, like you say, whether you like it or not, it's a fact that football draws eyeballs, and you would like them to be happy, you know, eyeballs with happy and smiley faces, you know, behind them, rather than the eyeballs that were being drawn last year. So it's a good thing for everyone when football is good, when you know, for a university.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, who would you rather the Avs face before we leave you here? We've got St. Louis and Minnesota going tonight. Minnesota can force a game 7. Who would you rather see go up against Colorado?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I've been texting with one of my siblings about this. Going in, I said St. Louis for sure, because I do think Minnesota has a better roster. But man, St. Louis does have some, you know, some of those folks have won a cup and are very experienced, and they're looking like they're turning on a bit. So they're getting a little scary, but I still say St. Louis. And hopefully the Avs just keep going, because, man, that first round was fun. When they play like that, it's pretty scary.
It was so fast to get it done with. I mean, it seems like they haven't played in weeks now. But Darcy Kuemper is, I just saw some posts today, actually. Darcy Kuemper is on the ice.
Yeah.
He's practicing. So that's the big thing about getting that sweep, was you give him a few extra days, almost a week, to get his eyeball right and everything.
Yeah, rest is never bad in these playoffs. They're such a grind.
Yeah, rest is never bad for us either, Kevin. I'm going to let you go do that.
We're getting old, and no doubt.
All right, my man. Kevin, appreciate you as always. Life's going to be a little slower here for the next couple of weeks for you, right? I mean, now that things are calming down for Colorado State.
Well, next couple of weeks get busy. I'm actually down in Denver for some high school state tennis right now. We have state soccer, lacrosse, all that going on, track next week. So hectic weeks, couple weeks in the high school realm. And then, like I said, late May, we'll get the Roddy decision. Then, yeah, come June, it kind of all slows down as we everyone kind of hits a real off season.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to be down at state track. My niece made it back-to-back years, so awesome. Joker's not the only back-to-back kind of champ here. So I'll be down there, man. I'll be checking it out, so I hope to see you around.
Very cool. Sounds great.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. He is our CSU Rams insider. 12:49 the time. Darcy Kemper's on the ice. Great news for the Avs. I think it'll be better news if Minnesota wins tonight. Force a game 7. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Should Carmelo Anthony be on the Nuggets Mount Rushmore? We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Miranda Simpson, she, hey, listen, guys, I mean, you know having someone local has never been more important. She's here and ready to help you with all of your insurance needs in Colorado, Wyoming, and Nebraska. Miranda is your local State Farm insurance agent for the Fort Collins and Northern Colorado area. She's a Colorado State University graduate. She's active with the CSU Ram Club. So she's working throughout Fort Collins, but Greeley as well. So give her a call. State Farm. Miranda Simpson, 970-223-7800. 970-223-7800. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is up. Should Carmelo Anthony be in the Mount Rushmore of Denver Nuggets? Okay, Michael, we got to get to this. I want to get to my good, the bad, the ugly. Didn't get to that start the show, but here we go. Presented by FMS Bank. Here it is. The good, the bad, the ugly from last night. Nikola Jokic, he's the MVP. It's official. But I'm talking about the videos. He's rolling in on a horse, but he's like in that, he's in the wagon or whatever, the cart. Because Joker can't ride a horse, dude. His feet would drag to the ground, that poor animal. So he is pulled by a cart instead. He rolls into his stables, and there is everybody singing, and there's some kind of, I'm guessing, some kind of Serbian song and all of that. Michael Malone's hugging and kissing. He gets the ball. The Joker's the bomb. And national media, you know what? Who cares anymore? Because Joker has it. The bad, I'm going to say Golden State at this point. The Golden State Warriors are in a little bit of trouble. And that's good and bad. I'm kind of rooting for Golden State because they did beat Denver. But they are now in a very interesting spot. They are down in this series to Memphis. And, whew. Could Golden State really lose this one? They lose 134-95 last night, and it was no Ja Morant. What the hell? Steph Curry had 14 points. He was 3 of 8 from the three-point line. Klay Thompson, 19 points, but doesn't it feel more and more like he's just a guy? The ugly, the Rockies lose their 10th straight to San Francisco, and I think it's time to hit the panic button. I don't know if we have it there, Michael, but it's definitely time to hit the panic button if you are a Rockies fan, especially if you are a member of the Rockies bus, like our friends Tanner Schwint and Mr. Angel Padilla. So, yeah, hit that panic button. There it is, officially. Hit the panic button. It's time to freak out. The Rocks are 16-15. They're last in the division, and it doesn't, I mean, Kansas City, you got to find a way to sweep this series to get right back on track. You'd feel better if you do. All right, that's going to do it for us. Rockies Rundown's coming up at 2 o'clock today. So we got another hour here, and then Rockies Rundown with Jerry Schimmel and Tanner Schwint. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.